around Gaza, adding there is no evidence it was brought down by hostile action. The U.S. has had a naval task force in the waters off Israel since the beginning of the crisis, and some of those ships participated in the unsuccessful search for survivors.
Hamas says it has called off hostage negotiations because of Israeli attacks on its hospitals. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on CBS's Face the Nation.
We can see from open source reporting that there is a track record, a pattern of Hamas historically and in this conflict using hospitals and other civilian facilities for these purposes.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told NBC a deal to free the hostages could be close.
It's a result of pressure, military pressure, putting pressure on the Hamas leadership. That's the one thing that might create a deal. And if a deal is available, well, we'll talk about it when it's there.
Netanyahu says Hamas refused fuel for its main hospital. CBS's Marwan Agul on the need.
The hospital and doctors cannot apply any services to the injured people as no fuel, no electricity, everything ran out.
House Republicans have proposed a two-step funding plan to avert a government shutdown, but it faces resistance among both parties.
It's an unusual approach for a stopgap spending bill. Ordinarily, when Congress doesn't pass a budget in time, it approves a so-called continuing resolution, which extends funding until a certain date for all government programs. Johnson's two-step plan addresses concerns of Republicans who said they didn't want to be presented with a massive spending bill just before the holidays. Christopher Cruz, CBS. News, Washington.
The government could run out of money Friday at midnight. House Republicans hope to pass the measure Tuesday. Four people, including an Austin officer, were killed after a woman called police to say she was being stabbed. Interim Chief Robin Henderson on what happened when police arrived.
The suspect immediately fired his gun at the officers, and the SWAT officers returned fire. Information was provided over the radio that two officers were shot.
King Charles led a national service of remembrance in England. Remembrance Day is observed in Commonwealth member states, honoring those in the armed services who died in the line of duty. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. America yet again finds itself on the brink of a government shutdown. People in Wisconsin want lawmakers to keep working Americans in mind when considering certain programs. More from Mike Moan.
Congress has 1 week to approve a new federal spending plan, but with a new House Speaker in place come renewed concerns Republicans in that chamber will press for steep cuts before the latest deadline. Jordan Anderson, a disability rights advocate from central Wisconsin, worries about accessing disability benefits through Social Security if his job status changes. It's even more pressing for those close to him.
I have friends that are unable to work, so they kind of depend on the one check that comes every month, and it's vital to have what they need to buy groceries.
Anderson also worries about water quality in his community. The House passed an environmental appropriations package that cuts spending by 35%. Lawmakers did not respond to a request for comment, but generally, House GOP members have stressed the need to rein in spending. Hard right House members are pushing for cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program under the Farm Bill reauthorization. Linda Spaulding, a retired community college teacher from Kenosha, says many working families are struggling to get by.
When you're trying to decide, well, do I afford childcare or can I afford food on the table, what are you going to pick?
Bobby Kogan with the Center for American Progress says it's important for the public to know that House Republicans have floated cuts that some might argue go beyond extreme.
House Republicans called for an 80% cut. It's money that goes to poor school districts to make sure that they can hire teachers.
Lawmakers backing that idea say unspent COVID funding factors into their reasoning. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and
Here's
the Civic Media
forecast
app.
Forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 54. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 34. Highs level off around 56 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Well, where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, November 9th. Beautiful sunny day. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bryan. Lots of company. Greg Bach and Carol Kane with me live in studio. And it is time for our public cervix announcement with our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, Dr. Lyerly. How you doing?
I'm so good. Hello, everybody. Isn't it great to be here together, Greg, for the second time today?
Hi.
And I don't know if we should probably avert our eyes.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't know if we can actually look you directly in the eyes anymore. If you have handlers now, that because you have reached star status.
I was on John Oliver's show on Sunday, which is, it was a 7-second clip, so I guess I've made it.
You made it!
That's 7 seconds that is more than any one of us in this room.
Absolutely. That was so cool when I went back on Monday and I watched, and it's like, that's our friend.
Do you know what she, during the show, she was on Pat's show this morning, and then she just, you know, the HBO thing is one thing, and then we were talking about, you know, various health, we were talking about mental health in the elderly. Just whips out a story. I was at the White House with the president.
But it illustrated the fact that Joe Biden is in his right mind and he does not appear to have any issues. So it counters all of those conservative talking points. I wasn't doing it. Oh, come on, Greg.
Just casually name dropping. Well, I was hanging out at the White House.
I was on the moon last Thursday.
Well, congratulations to you for making that appearance on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. That was pretty cool.
And congratulations to all of us for the election results on Tuesday that clearly show that the will of the people stands with where Democrats are headed. And, you know, I know we try not to be partisan. At least we try to be fair and even. But, man, Ohio, everything that they did to put barriers in people's way in Ohio and to prevent them from being able to pass this constitutional amendment. And the people of Ohio were not fooled. They were out there in force, standing up for themselves. That's what we're going to do in Wisconsin in the fall.
And it wasn't just Democrats, because they did exit polling in Ohio. There were, okay, not a huge number of Republicans, but I want to say it was 17%, and something like 55% of independents voted yes on issue one. So this is a banning abortion is not a popular, it is not a popular opinion, but I think, Kristen, and I just saw this morning in Michigan now, because Michigan also did something similar with building this into their state constitution. In Michigan now, they're going to try and go around the will of the voters and are essentially saying the voters don't get to make up new laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're going to try everything. They're going to pull out all the stops. But what we've seen consistently, and you're right, it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. A lot of those independent voters tend to vote with one party or another. But what we're seeing is this is about our personal freedoms. This is about other people telling us what we have to do with our own bodies, in our own lives. And people don't like it. It doesn't matter what party you typically align with. It's not right. So we're seeing it change, and we will see it change in Wisconsin. I sincerely believe that.
Yeah, again, it's remarkable to me to see some of the comments made by some of these predominantly male white politicians, and they're stunned that at least 50% of the population is a little ticked off that they're trying to be stripped of their bodily autonomy. I know it's shocking, but yeah.
And it's way more than 50%. I can't tell you how many men approach me and say, what can I do? I just feel, they feel marginalized in many ways. I don't know, Greg, maybe you can speak to this. They're like, I'm not a woman, but this is just, it's so hard and I want to be part of the solution.
Well, but I would think a lot of them have women in their lives and they respect them and they want to do, you know, I know my husband would cross across a field of broken glass if I needed help, you know. So I think that's a lot of guys about why they ask that, you know, what can I do? Because they have women in their lives that they love.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing too is that, you know, it's been discussed at a great, for a great while, is the fact that these sorts of laws, proposed laws, they have effect on men too. They affect everybody, period. And to say, well, I'm not a woman, so I don't care. Then you, I was like, as Carol has said, like, then you don't apparently have a woman in your life that you care about or just have basic human decency. Because if they can do this, then what's next? If they can do that, then what's next after that? You know, even
and just because they didn't do it to you
exactly
doesn't mean the next thing isn't going to be about you.
I mean, perfect example right now, what's happening in Michigan. They overturn, they ruled on Dobbs. Michigan said, nope, we're going to do it. We're going to have access anyways. And then the government says, well, we don't think you know how to do laws. And that 10th Amendment, the Constitution, we'll get around that.
Mm-hmm. We saw that in Ohio as they were approaching this last ballot initiative. They had the other ballot initiative to change how they run ballot initiatives.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, they're just pulling out all the stops. But I think one of the other things that's really important to acknowledge is that their messaging is so far off the rails when they say things like Democrats want abortion all the way up until the time of birth and even beyond. Like, that's just plain a lie. And it's crazy. But what people are also hearing is Republicans aren't expanding Medicaid. So postpartum women aren't getting health care. And that's when women die related to pregnancy and childbirth.
And there are
so many things we can do better.
And because our maternal mortality rates are going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, that ties into one of the things that I put on our list to talk about today, which is syphilis. We talked about syphilis in the past. There's new data out on syphilis. In the last 10 years, we've had an 11-fold increase in the number of babies that have died as a result of syphilis infections. And it was almost eliminated 20 years ago. When I was going through medical school, we talked about it. We knew how to screen for it. We knew what it was. We knew how to treat it, but we never saw it. I've seen more syphilis in one day in the last couple of months than I did my entire career before that.
So, and what is the change then, Dr. Lyerly? What changed over those 20 years?
Well, really what I think it comes down to is public health. We don't have, COVID happened. A lot of people weren't getting the healthcare, the screening that they needed. And also we've had drug shortages. We've had people who do not have access to healthcare. Most of these people have either no healthcare during their pregnancy or inadequate healthcare during their pregnancy. It's really hard to screen people for diseases like this if they're not coming in to get care, and they can't come in to get care if they don't have coverage or access.
Well, and you know what? It's kind of like that. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. And the thing is that knowledge is absolutely power. And you need to get this word out so that women who may be exposing themselves to unhealthy practices, if you will, can know what the consequences might be.
And they may not even know, Carol.
Right.
They may think that they are in a safe relationship. They may not have any symptoms. It may not even be on their radar. but they still could end up in this situation. And I have seen that personally.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest every Thursday at 11:06 for public service announcement, talking about Tuesday's election and the results specifically related to abortion in this country. But going back to something that you said a little bit earlier, this healthcare desert, these healthcare deserts are a problem and a growing problem, including here in Wisconsin. So women, men, anybody, you have to drive an hour and a half away, right? Or longer.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the maternity care deserts. We've lost half of our rural hospitals in Wisconsin in the last 20 years who deliver maternity care. So women are having to drive further and further to deliver their babies. And I don't know if you're familiar with how labor goes, but sometimes it can be pretty unpredictable. I've definitely taken care of people who have delivered on the side of the road.
Seriously.
I've talked with EMT people who have been called to cars as they're trying to get there. The classic thing is like the person pulls up into the valet area of the hospital and we run out and there's a woman looking shocked with a baby in her pants. I mean, this happens because people have to drive so far to get to deliver their baby. And when you're having to come in once a month for your regular prenatal care, and then it's twice a month, and then it's four times a month as you get closer to the end of your pregnancy. Those are a lot of visits. That's a lot of time away from work. That's a lot of time that you need somebody else to watch your other kids. It's really hard to get that care if it's not local and convenient for you.
To tell you the truth, I was a terrible pregnant girl.
Shocking.
I know, right? But both my pregnancies... So to address what you're saying, both my pregnancies were problematic. I really had difficulty carrying my children. So if I'd had to drive a long way.
Can you imagine if you had a 2-hour drive just for an appointment?
No, I mean, because I was posed at least at one point in time with the amnio that came back, and the woman who read the amnio said to me, you've got 2 days to make a decision as to whether or not you want to continue with this pregnancy, because once you hit 24 weeks, you're done. Nobody's going to touch you. And it was one of the most traumatic moments of my life, but I was at least lucky enough to be able to be someplace where my doctor was, you know, maybe a half an hour away, maybe.
Carol, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because this is happening more and more. And here in Wisconsin, even without this 1849 ban, we have a 20-week ban that's actually dated by post-fertilization age in the books, which is not even a real thing. But it means that people come in for their ultrasound, typically around 20 weeks. They may find out that their baby has a problem. They've got an incredibly short window to make decisions. They may be making decisions because they're feeling stressed and pressed, and they don't have the resources around them to help them make that decision and to see what the future might look like. This is one of my greatest concerns. Patients, people who are looking at the future of their family, need time. They need support. They need resources. They don't need politicians in their exam room saying, I need you to make a decision right now.
And this is where finding the right physician for you is so incredibly,
important.
It's so incredibly important, because to tell you the truth, once I got that phone call, I called my OB and he was the greatest. He goes, no, you're not doing anything. He says, you're just going to be, and he couldn't have been more supportive of me. So this is where you really got to, this is an important thing. You got to take some time and find the right physician for you.
Dr. Lierley is going to stay with us when we come back. The importance, of moving.
What? Oh.
As we're all sitting around in our chairs, stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See him in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome to Asgos, Wisconsin. Jane Matt-Mayer in for Kristen Bry. Greg and Carol in studio with me. Calvin is on the board, and we are joined every Thursday at 11:06 for public service announcement. If you ever have a question for Dr. Lyerly, you can certainly text it in or call at 844-967-2789. Before we talk about exercising, I want to go back to something you mentioned in the previous segment about the GOP presidential candidate debate on Wednesday night. And this has happened many times. And every time I see this on television, I am screaming at the television saying, that is not a thing. And I'm referring to abortion up to the moment of birth and after. That is not a thing, Dr. Lyerly, right?
Abortion up until the moment of birth and sometimes after only exists on conservative talk radio and television. It does not happen in the real world.
I mean, if it is necessary to have a procedure to save the life of the mother, I always thought it was called palliative care. If you are in your ninth month of pregnancy, I just don't see a woman coming in at that point and saying, "Yeah, I changed my mind." No, it's because something drastically has gone wrong.
100%. The vast majority of abortion care happens very early in pregnancy. And the further you get along in the pregnancy, the more likely this is actually a wanted pregnancy. And you're bumping into problems, whether they're maternal problems. Like, women can have problems with their blood pressures even before they hit that point of viability where a baby can survive outside of its mother. Women can have lots of other issues. I mean, there are women who they go into pregnancy knowing that their lives are at risk, but it means so much to them. But they do it knowing that they're being monitored very closely, and if they have a status change, that they've got options. And that's a rare circumstance. I mean, obviously, there are many different scenarios here. But once you get to that point of viability, if there is a delivery, a palliative delivery or a procedure, it's because there is something very wrong. And these are heartbreaking situations. I mean, I can tell you about a family that I delivered at 32 weeks because their baby had a genetic kidney problem and it was a non-functioning kidney. The baby had no fluid around it, would not have survived. And so we did everything that we could. We surrounded them with support, faith leaders, family members, so that they could make the decision about what the best thing was for them right then and into the future. And we delivered her at 32 weeks knowing that their baby was going to die. And they held their baby as he died. And we all got to go into the room and meet him. They were so proud and so happy. And, you know, we shared our blessings. And I mean, can you even imagine being in a situation like that? And then to hear and to have this in your history and to hear these people on TV just repeating this like a slogan. How painful is that to real people who have experienced these traumatizing situations? Shame on those conservative talk radio hosts and TV hosts for doing this.
And yes, those moderators. Those moderators should all have to be, I want to sit them down and we're going to have a chat, because they should be calling them out on this. Letting them spew this BS, I'm sorry, is infuriating. Mm-hmm. Abortion up to the moment of birth and after is not a thing. It's just not. Okay.
All right.
Now we can talk about exercise?
Yes, let's talk about...
we don't have to. We can talk about other things if we want.
Let's talk about how we need to get off our butts and actually move. And it really is very important.
It is, because too much sitting increases your risk of death by 38%, or at least
a recent study.
A recent study out of the U.S. and Scandinavia of about 12,000 people, where they looked at, these people carried trackers around, like either Apple Watch kind of things that tracked your movement or something similar. And so they knew how much they were getting up and moving. And then they looked at death records. And what they realized was people who got, who spent more than 12 hours a day sitting have a 38% increased risk of death. Unless they get at least 22 minutes of exercise every day.
22.
That's very specific, Doc.
Well, yeah, because these are data people, you know, so they're looking at all the different points and they're trying to figure out like what makes the most sense. So to me, if I was talking to my patient about this, I would say just try to get 30 minutes a day. Pick something that you love. You don't have to like go to the gym and be super hardcore. Like go for a walk after dinner, you know, hop on your bike. If you've got a treadmill in your garage in the winter, pop on a TV show and just, you know, move your body a little bit. It does make a difference and it doesn't have to be grueling.
It is not a tough formula. Eat less, move around more, and you're gonna be healthy. That's all there is to it.
I don't like any of this. I like sitting and eating.
But what this makes me happy in that it's not you all need to work out for an hour and a half a day, and you should be doing this and this and it. With everything else in people's busy lives, that is just too much to take on. It is. But if we can break it down into go for a 25-minute walk, go for a 30-minute walk once a day, four times a week. You know, that's...
It doesn't even have to be like all in one block. Like you could get up during your lunch hour and just walk around for 10 minutes and sit back down again, Greg.
What is with, like, seriously, you just, like, last show we were doing this, every time.
I did the same thing.
Every time. Makes me feel so, syphilis, Greg. What's that about?
I love you, Greg.
I love you more, whatever.
I'm just wondering, because I got a, Pat mentioned this about, you know, runs to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I was up at least four times last night. Can I add those all up into, like, a three-minute walk?
That's it. Next week, we're talking about bladder health because it is Bladder Health Month. That was a cry for help from Jane. Did you all hear it?
But as I get older, I get up in the middle of the night. I do go to the bathroom. But I feel like if my body is waking me up to go to the bathroom and I go to the bathroom, I make it and I do my thing and I come back and go back to bed. I feel like that says a lot about my body versus waking up the next morning being like, well, I wet them. You know, I feel like there's... I feel like my body's healthy because it's properly getting myself to the bathroom to use it and then go back to bed, you know? I don't know.
And this maybe we'll talk about prostate health too next
and
week.
There you go. Can we also talk about sleep? We gotta talk about sleep.
This is where getting a dog could be very helpful because you gotta get them out and you gotta get them exercise and they love the company as do you. You know, just that's what I used to do with my dogs. I'd walk them all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the other side of the coin with the responsibility that a pet does carry. But yet at the same time, if I never got Beauregard and Sydney out, I'd be way fatter than I am right now.
Let's double down on the goodness of a pet, too, because that feeds your heart. As long as it's like a good relationship with your pet. I mean, that can also be really good for your mental health. So really, the key is finding the thing you love to do and doing it. Maybe it's going for a walk with your friend in the morning. Maybe it's you have a pet. Maybe it's you have a TV show that you watch every day. Whatever it is, just do it every single day. And pretty soon you'll find that you miss it when you don't do it.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest every Thursday at 11:06 for a public service announcement. You can always text in your questions at 844-967-2789. Thank you so much, Dr. Lierley. We will see you next week.
See you, Doc.
Let us know if
Bladder health.
For bladder health. And let us know if you're going to be on any nationally syndicated programs. All right, stay with us. When we come back, we're talking all things sports. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Five service members were killed when their plane crashed into the Mediterranean during a routine training mission. CBS News National Security Correspondent David Martin.
The U.S. has had a naval task force in the waters off Israel since the beginning of the crisis, and some of those ships participated in the unsuccessful search for survivors.
Hamas says it's suspending hostage negotiations because of Israel's attacks on Gaza hospitals. But the work continues to free Americans. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on Face the Nation.
There are active negotiations underway between Israel and Qatar, who is communicating with Hamas. And the United States is involved in those discussions.
An Austin police officer was among four killed when police responded to a home for an alleged stabbing. Interim Chief Robin Henderson.
Very tragic incident for all involved.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's been one of the most surprising stories this year in Wisconsin sports. Manager Craig Counsell deciding to leave Milwaukee and join the Chicago Cubs, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio.
We have a commitment to players and our organization, and we have a commitment to winning. And it extends to the next generation. We lost Craig, but I've reflected on this. You know, Craig has lost us.
In what turned out to be his last press conference as the Brewers manager, Counsell said despite losing in the playoffs to Arizona, he was proud of his players.
This was a great team. And I think I told the guys, I said, you know, as you move forward in your careers, you should want to create teams like this. You should use your leadership to create an atmosphere like this. This was a team you want to be on. They celebrated each other, and it's just a group that it made baseball a lot of fun.
That's Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 54. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 34. Highs level off around 56 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos.
That's my favorite kind of show.
That's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa on the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night. The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret, every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry, Calvin on the board, Greg with me in studio, and joining us from home via StreamYard, Kristen Bry. How are you, my friend? How are you doing? You look great.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
I was just thinking that it's so gray outside, so there's not a lot of sunlight in here, so I look like the ghost of Halloween of some sort.
I just
look a little pale because winter is coming.
Maybe I just haven't hung around a lot of new moms, but you look gorgeous. You don't look tired. You don't look stressed.
I did put makeup on this morning, so that helps. That's like a maybe the fourth time that's happened since Frankie arrived. But you know, when you have to look at yourself on camera, you're like, well, let's
spiff that up a little.
Let's zhuzh.
How is the baby?
The baby's good. The baby is sleeping. She's entered the stage of she's definitely awake more during the day, but then when she is awake, she's kind of a ticking time bomb until she is wailing. And so it's like a fun little bit of her looking around, and we like look at contrast cards and we do some stuff, but she's still not really smiling or necessarily reacting. And then all of a sudden it's just
screaming.
And so, and it's like, are you hungry? No. Do you need to burp sometimes? And then sometimes she's just tired. Yeah. She just needs to be put back, soothed and put back to sleep. Just like all of us sometimes.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to be swayed a little bit and then go lay down for a nice nap?
I do. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. We're gonna kick things off with the good, the bad, and you found a what in your ear?
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, it's up there with last week's House of Bad Hell story.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to start out with the good, and this really is a wonderful thing. Internet is being expanded all over Wisconsin.
Good.
This is good. It's part of a big push to help connect people in sparsely populated areas. $28 million project connecting thousands of rural residents and farmers in Richland, Dane, Iowa, Juneau, and Sauk counties, and an initiative to switch 1,500 Washington County residents to a higher speed service. So they're actually bringing it out now to Washington Island. Off of Bayfield. So again, you cannot function in society today without the internet. You just can't.
Yeah.
Wait, is Washington Island off of Bayfield or is that off of Door County?
Off of Bayfield.
What's the island off of Door County that has the bitters, the bar where you can take the shot of bitters and enter the club?
Is that Washington Island? That might be Washington Island. We're getting our islands confused now.
Well, and I was just thinking that because if that's Washington Island, I have been there. And I will say, I don't know there's not a lot there. And so I think that would not be my thought as far as the priority of extending internet, because it's like, it's a lot of trails. And certainly, I mean, the bar that you go to and you get the Bitters Club, maybe they would benefit from some internet because they're a business. But when I think about so many of the different areas in Wisconsin that certainly need it, because there's schools and houses and commercial establishments and such. And so, when I think of Washington Island, I think of like recreational camping and like what's there is there's a beach that has all these like really flat, smooth stones, but you cannot take the stones. It is illegal to take the stones.
Ooh, stone police.
Challenge accepted. Washington Island is in Door County.
Yeah, is in Door County. Okay. And there are 700 people who live there year round.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Learn something new.
And now they're getting some internet, baby.
Yeah. But again, I can't even imagine what a struggle it must be just for kids trying to do homework, parents trying to pay bills, connecting with, you know, Zooming with friends or whatever it is that you want to do. So that's all good news. That is certainly a step in the right direction, although there are still about 246,000 homes and businesses that lack access to internet speeds, and I don't know what this means, of 25.3 Mbps.
Means fast enough.
Yeah.
Not fast enough.
It's fast enough to not be buffering every time you want to watch anything on YouTube.
Can you imagine how maddening that would be?
Can you imagine?
I mean, that's what we all used to do, right? Yeah. Remember that, like, this was not so long. I mean, it is. It's like 15 years now. But I remember having to download entire episodes of, like, when the first time I was ever watching The Wire, like downloading an entire episode and then coming be able to come back and watch it versus the entire idea of streaming and just being frustrated when it isn't seamless.
Well, I mean, back when I first got on the internet, when I was like 17, if you just wanted to watch like a scene from a movie, you'd have to download it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you could sign up AOL. You could only like, there was no such thing as like broadband. It was dial up only. And yep.
Dial up.
You
yes.
had to pick like your plan, like how many hours a month do you want? Do you want 24 hours? If you go to 25 hours, we'll destroy you with charges.
Yeah. That is remarkable. Well, when you think about how far this technology has come so quickly, again, considering the dial up, oh my gosh, that we didn't all just snap. Now we would all snap.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
Right?
I wish I could have it by memory. Like, I wish I could just go straight into the dial-up tone, but I think I would butcher it and it's not an attractive sound. It's very much the dumber, do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? And I'm not going, as an audio medium, I'm not going to do that to people.
I think that's wise.
I will do my one dial-up impression that I do have. It's not the dial-up tone. It's just when you signed on, you've got mail. That sound made you feel so, because there was not really junk mail at the time. They hadn't gotten themselves together in the late 90s. So if you got email, it was from someone who wanted to talk to you.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was amazing.
It was amazing. All right. Well, that is the good. Moving on to the bad. Again, it's a little bit of both. Wisconsin State Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara, a Republican from Appleton, is talking about the child care crisis and the child care situation that we're in with not enough providers and the expense of it. And she has said that she has talked to people who are only charging 2.25 an hour for child care.
Wait, what?
Yeah. During an October 18th hearing for the GOP bills, she said, I had folks coming in. I was asking them, how much are you charging an hour for child care? And some of them told me $2 to 2.25 an hour. And I said, well, maybe you need to increase your prices.
Did she think she heard $225 and not $225 an hour?
No, I think she heard $225.
There's nothing that makes my heart happier than when any political official, especially Republicans, say, I've been talking to people.
Many people are saying.
A lot of people are telling me.
I mean, and now you know you've been exploring this, right, Kristen? You're starting to look around for providers.
Well, we're going to do a nanny share. Okay. So we have friends whose kid is 14 months, and they've been doing a nanny share with another family for the last year since they had their kid and went back to work. And their nanny feels like she's confident she can take another baby on. And so we'll be doing that with two other families. And so she charges, when it's three kids, she charges $13.50 per kid.
An hour.
And so when it's just her one-on-one with a kid, she charges $22.50.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I didn't even know nanny share was a thing.
It is a thing.
Wow.
It's a little bit more flexible. At least what we're setting up, it's a little bit more flexible because some of the things with daycare is you have to be full-time. Mm-hmm. Like if your kid is sick or if any other kids are sick, like there's just because they're bigger, right? And so like the precautions that have to go into place when there's more kids involved and everything. And you know, the regulations as it is 1 to 4 for infants. So I can't even imagine that. Like having one crying infant right now and then being a daycare provider or a childcare provider and having 4 kids under 1 that you're in charge of, and that like that is normal, or that is like even beyond that one of the solutions that's been offered is like, well, we should up the ante. We should be like, oh, they can take care of 6,
right?
Because that's listed as one of the reasons why child care has gotten so expensive is because of regulations, right? And one of the regulations being based on age, how many kids one person can reasonably look after. And I'm just saying right now, if you ever put me in charge of 4 babies, good luck getting that baby back. All 4 of them. I mean, you only got 2 arms. So the fact that they can barely hold 1, let alone 4.
We have a friend of ours who owns 2 daycare services up in the North Shore. And she told us when we first got married, she goes, and when you have a child, when you have a kid, they'll get free daycare from me. And neither Bridget and I want Ted, nor do we want now children.
Right.
But we did look at each other going, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, that's some savings right there. We could save for college or something. That's if anything, the bragging rights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money. Yeah. And again, I don't doubt that there are maybe some child care providers in some of the smaller rural communities where someone is working out of her house that she can charge $250 an hour. But that is not the experience of most people. And I think it's terrible that a child care provider is only making $2.25. You can't live on that.
There's a part of me that's like also saying, I don't believe you.
I know. I have a hard time believing that. And if she heard it from one person, then she heard it from one person who's in a very unique situation where they can charge that and are probably maybe independently wealthy or have a spouse that is covering the costs of a lot of things.
Right.
Cause that is just, I mean, that's not even a cup of coffee. That's not even a grande Starbucks coffee.
That's less than what
drip coffee, not a latte. A drip coffee at Starbucks is like $3.50.
That's less than what a server makes. That's less than minimum wage for a server too. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's not a.
But you know, honestly,
I want more questions. I want more follow up questions of whoever wrote that article.
Well, we can do that.
I do like you're enough. It's not even a drip coffee. That's your Starbucks to.
No, it's not even a fancy coffee. It's just drip. It's just the best margins you'll ever get is as a coffee business is like, oh, we made 5 gallons of coffee and we're going to charge you $3.50 per cup, even though it cost us about 5 cents to make.
Oh, now I want some coffee.
But again, I just find it interesting that this is supposed to be a positive because, well, look at how affordable this is. If they're, you know, if they're only charging $2.25 for daycare, that is not a positive for the daycare provider that you can't make a living like that.
Well, if you deregulate it, then everything's fine, Jane.
Just as many kids as you can handle.
Yes.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. It's also a recipe for neglect. Or especially once they're walking around, like, and you know, you have like over one is 1 to 6 or 1 to 7. And I'm just saying, like, trying to watch toddlers, like, that's the next challenge that I'm not necessarily looking forward to. Right now, it's like she can just be in there and I can go about my business.
Now,
toddlers, not so much.
When you have to say, oh, where is she?
Yeah. Once she starts motoring, it's going to be a whole different world.
When you start debating, do we get a child leash?
I was going to ask you about that.
But they have monkeys on them.
I can understand why parents do that. I mean, there is a range where you cannot reason with these little people, right? Don't run in the road.
Children and terrorists. You can't reason with them.
But you can. It's like, don't run in the road. I'm going to go run in the road because I am a toddler. And so I can see why people would. Leash their children.
No judgment.
Oh, I think you said lease your children. I just wanted to get the good parking.
Oh,
never mind.
No, different kind of thing. All right. Well, and I, just out of curiosity, if you are paying for childcare, text in how much you pay an hour. I'm really, really curious.
Yeah.
From all over the state, whether you're listening in the Northwoods or Amory or Wisconsin Rapids, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Falling asleep at the wheel.
I'm looking at a text from Lynn.
Oh.
Lynn sent us a text. It was a nice one. She said, Washington Island, best fast food. Schoolhouse Beach, watch the drop-off and definitely a challenge if you have bad needs.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Lynn. And she quit. You're texting us a lot, Lynn. I think your phone's going crazy.
All right. When we come back, you found a what in your ear?
I'm not looking forward to this.
Oh, it's a dandy. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See him in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bryant. 10 minutes before 11 o'clock, Greg Buck with me in studio, Calvin on the board, and new mom Kristen Bry joining us on StreamYard. If you want to watch the live stream, you can always find it on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm not going to call it that other thing. I refuse.
Totally called it that the other day.
I know. I slipped, and I will never forgive myself. Bite me, Elmo. Anyway, we were taking some texts on how much you pay for childcare. I'm just curious. And Michael checking in, he says $255 a week for a newborn in northwestern Wisconsin. And that's low end compared to what other people pay.
That is low, especially if it's full time.
I mean, for a newborn?
Hours, you know, 9 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Sarah says, leashing your kids is nothing new. My 68-year-old father still tells stories of his parents leashing him to the clothesline so he wouldn't run off.
That's funny.
I would do that.
You would do that. I could see that.
Or duct tape, you know.
How was babysitting, Jane? Easy.
Easy. It was super easy. I knew where she was the entire time. All right. The good, the bad, and you found a what stuck in your ear? This is in Missouri. 29-year-old Desiree Kelly woke up at 5 a.m. on October 18th with a strange fluttering sensation in her right ear. Initially, she thought this was just a tassel that's on the comforter, and she went back to sleep. But when she woke up, she considered going to urgent care. She almost talked herself out of going because she thought, this is all in my head. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. But her fiance begged her to go in, so she went to the urgent care. This is when Desiree said, she's waiting in the waiting room, and I felt something move in my ear. It felt like something was at the base of the eardrum. In that moment, I was convinced it was wax. And I started crying, one, because it was uncomfortable. Two, I was embarrassed that they're going to look in my ear and tell me it's wax and tell me I'm doing a terrible job cleaning out my ears. That is not what happened. A nurse noted something in the ear and told her, well, it definitely isn't a moth. She had never even considered.
Exactly what you want to hear.
She had never even considered it could be a moth. Not a moth. The nurse tells her it's curled up in the back. Now the nurse started treating the ear while you irrigate it with water. And then they have a bowl underneath you. And we're dumping the bowl and we're dumping the bowl and we dump the bowl probably 3 times. And then she goes over to the sink to get more water. While she's refilling the bottle, I felt it moving at the back of my ear. And she rushed over telling me, put the bowl up to your ear, quick. That's when she saw a black object fall out of your ear onto a sweater. It was a spider. I watched something jump from my shoulder to the ground, and then I watched it crawl away. That's when I realized it was a spider that was still alive. I was looking at it. It wasn't small. It was about the size of a nickel. Luckily, there was no damage to the eardrum, no medication, and additionally, this is good news. Her ear free of spider parts and spider eggs, which is always how you want that to wrap up. But now she said, essentially, she will never go to sleep now without wearing earplugs.
Is that what we're all supposed to be doing? is just to prevent this from ever happening? Because I know it's not common, but it's not.
It's not
that like these stories.
It's not, yes. It's happened before.
I just want to know how it stays alive in your ear, like how it doesn't like get suffocated or crushed or something. Like it can't seem like a hospitable environment to be crawling, Kristen, pods? To be like, Kristen, like, to be crawling inside of your ear, just doing this all the time, just trying to gross her out.
I know, I can tell.
Well, I feel like, was this originally a TikTok?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen. I think I saw this one, but I also saw it the first time. It was like 3 a.m. as I was nursing Frankie, and I was because I don't know. This is it's funny because I think Todd Alba is starting to do What's Worse as a segment every day, and this, which is, you know, is a little bit like Would You Rather, and it's like, would you rather have a spider in your ear moving around, or compared to what, like, or compared to last week, where would you rather be in a house full of thousands of bats?
I think I'd rather
inescapable
spider, because
you would yeah, probably
bats
spider.
Requires a shot,
rabies
and the whole thing. Although I mean, hey, if they get some money from Airbnb, I don't know.
They're both pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah, they're not.
Is this what we're gonna do now every week? Let's just find a story to just completely disgust Kristen. The good, the bad, and make Kristen go,
"Ooh, that was creepy." It might be. All right, what's coming up for the rest of your day today, Mama Bri?
Well, we're still trying to get on a schedule of some sort. But the next big thing is I'm going to try to take her to the grocery store, because I'm going to try to make some lactation cookies.
Oh, fun.
Like oatmeal and a bunch of stuff in there. I actually, because I saw you guys have Mr. Matt Wild coming up next, and I saw that they, which is so on brand for Milwaukee Record, to be doing a casserole cook-off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, but I cooked a casserole last night. And so I'm kind of in a cooking thing right now, because cooking feels like something I can do, because she really likes the carrier, like the soft carrier where she's on my body. But because like just putting her and leaving her in the bassinet, I think she just wants attention sometimes.
Sure,
yeah. And so what can I do when the soft carrier, like with her on me? It's kind of a workout, but it's like I can cook. So so those are probably cooking some cookies that are somewhat healthy is coming up for today. Maybe going for a walk if it doesn't rain.
Looks like rain let up.
A little bit.
All right. And then I don't know, attempting to do some other to-do list type things. But, you know, always optimal word being attempt.
Yeah.
Well, all you can do is try, right? All you can do is try.
I just want to say really quickly, Bridget made some they weren't casseroles, but they were very wintry comfort foods. She made chili. Her chili is amazing. Then she made a cream of chicken, I guess a casserole, but it's just not in the casserole dish, with mushrooms. And then she made marinated steak stroganoff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So all in one day?
She made two in one and then one the next day.
Does she freeze them so you just have them for whenever you want?
They're gone in a week.
Oh.
Yeah. We plow through those immediately. And she'll make, I don't know, probably like 5 gallons of chili throughout winter. She just makes it, and that's it. Nice. It's amazing.
All right. Well, stick around. We have the news coming up next, followed by Milwaukee Records' Matt Wild will be joining us. Thank you so much, Kristen, for checking in with us. We will see you again next Wednesday at 10:33. Give the baby a squeeze from us.
Will do. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Don't go away. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette. President Biden says he's praying for the families of five U.S. service members who were killed when their plane crashed into the Mediterranean Sea during a routine training mission. Hamas